Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the On the Move podcast presented by Penske. Tim McMaster here along with Jim Duquette. This is the podcast where we talk about everything in baseball that's on the move, whether it be players or teams. And Duke, this time around, we have to start by going international to Japan because Shohei Ohtani, according to reports, is going to be posted this offseason. Of course, the two-way talent. He's been in the news for years now. He's called the Babe Ruth of Japan. Right. Hits home runs, hits for average, is also a pitcher. Is it surprising now, after he didn't come over a year ago, that he has chosen this offseason to kind of make the move?
It is a little bit for me because of the fact that he's 22 years old. He's going to be at 23 during the course, let's say, next year. They've had a number of different changes to the CBA where he is going to be impacted. You're not going to see a type of contract out there like Tanaka or Darvish, any of those guys. He's under 25 years old, so he falls under the hard cap rules on the international signing. So anyone who has, you know, the signing bonus money is going to be in the mix. Some of those teams that went over the signing bonus money from the past deal, they're penalized. They can only sign a guy no more than $300,000. I would think that would impact their abilities to sign them. So, you know, teams, for me, Tim, that would have interest, are they willing to let him play two-way? Because that seems to be a sticking point for him. He wants to do both. It's going to be hard to do that in the National League, you know, if you're just pitching or because he doesn't have a position. So, unless, the Dodgers can really convince him that he has a position, I would think he's more suited for the American League, which gives the Yankees, Mariners, Rangers, those three teams in particular, a distinct advantage to sign him, and they have the ability with the signing bonus money.
Yeah, and the Dodgers and the Cubs are two of the teams that would only be able to go to that $300,000, which is interesting because you did mention the AL factor. But if you think about just big market teams that want to spend the money on the international market, those are two teams that you think about, those front offices. Right. The other interesting thing from the CBA standpoint is not only is he going to not get that huge contract, but his team isn't going to get that huge deal either. $20 million is the cap now, which changes things, right?
Right.
Instead of teams bidding and somebody throwing out $50, $60 million for the right to negotiate, now you're going to have a whole bunch of teams throwing that $20 million in there. Now, I've tried to figure this out, reading through the articles. Does this mean that basically every team that ponies up the $20 million, does he get to then negotiate with all of those teams, or does he need to pick one?
No, he gets to negotiate okay. with each one, and whatever team is awarded the player, then that team has to pay, I believe it's within 30 days. They got to come up with a check of 20 mil, which is not easy to do. But yeah, that is the way that it happens. And they've had this for the last couple of years. You know, it wasn't just part of this CBA, but it worked the last time. You know, you get used to get some really high bidding wars where you'd have to give a ton of money to the team, and the player hardly ever saw it. And right. so this was, you know, somewhat of a medium, happy medium where you end up negotiating it with the Japanese league. So the teams are getting a little bit less maybe than they normally would, but there is enough money still left to give to the player too. And it seems like it's fair. I'll tell you, it's interesting is teams who have gone up. There's a lot of teams you mentioned. The Cubs have gone to visit the Dodgers. Texas Yankees, these are the ones we know about. Seattle, Toronto is a sleeper. They're a team that certainly in the American League, they've been in on Darvish in the past. They've been in on a lot of these. They just haven't come up with them. But they have plenty of money to spend, a great community up there that would support a Japanese player as well. So they've seen a ton of them. One of their super scouts there, Dan Evans, former GM, has been there, it seems like, every time he's pitched, or every time he's played. He hasn't pitched much this year because he's had these injuries. So I think that's, to me, fascinating is you're going off of what he did last year as a pitcher, which was pretty and has been really, really good, and you're only able to evaluate him as a hitter. Oh, by the way, his OPS currently about 990. So he's having a pretty good year.
Yeah. He and a lot of people were excited. One of the reasons there was a lot of excitement about the World Baseball Classic this spring was everybody thought you'd get to see this guy, he didn't pitch there, which I think was bad for teams who wanted to watch him. And then fans didn't get that taste either. He did pitch back in 2014, so people did get to see him then, but he was just a teenager back then. All right, so that's some excitement when you look to the offseason and what's to look ahead. How about right now? When you think about right now, and I mean literally as we record this podcast, the Cleveland Indians appear to be on their way to an American League record 21st straight victory. Now, they're late in the game against Detroit. It's a 4-3 game as we record this, so it's possible that they lose that game. But we're going to act like that's still going, Duke, as we record this. The A's won 20 in a row in 2002. The Cubs won 21 in a row back in 1935. I mean, as someone who's spent so much time around baseball, how amazing is a win streak like this? What has to go right for a team to win this many games in a row?
I mean, they're really, I mean, every part of your game. I mean, first off, you have to be very well-rounded and deep on your roster, and they are, and so were the A's, the one that I remember right in my wheelhouse when I was a front office executive, assistant GM at the time. But you know, there's always a level. You better have really good starting pitching. That's what the Indians have had. They've had seven shutouts in this 20-game win streak.
Starters are 18-0 in the 20 games with an ERA under 2. I mean, it's absurd.
I think it's under 1.8. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So you're right. It's absurd. All right. And so that part of it, obviously, they've outscored their opponents by 102 runs during that's incredible. It's almost outrageous. They trailed for like four innings during this. Like, there's so many things that go on. It's been dominant. And I remember seeing an article, Billy Beane, of course, the great GM there of the A's and now president there, talked about when they won their 20th game, they would come from behind by like six runs or something.
Scott Hatterberg's walk-off, which was, you know, in the book Moneyball, in the movie Moneyball.
And because that win, he basically said they expended so much energy to win that game. He said, we knew that was it. We shut our whole load in that one game to get to 20. I don't get that feeling with the Indians. I don't know where it's going to stop. It could stop today, as you mentioned. But it's one of those where they've had 10 different guys, I think, with game-winning RBIs. It's incredible what the run that they've been on. Corey Kluber's been amazing, but it's not just him and Bauer and Carrasco, Salazar, you know, the mix of bullpen and starters. They have done it without Andrew Miller, without Michael Brantley, without Jason Kipnis for the most part. It's been amazing what they've done.
Yeah, Miller's supposed to be back probably on Friday and maybe get some action this weekend. They seem so even-keeled as a clubhouse, too. They have, obviously, the energy guys, Jose Ramiro, Francisco Lindor. But then you hear Corey Kluber talk moments after throwing a shutout, his third shutout of the season, and he is just the boringest interview you're ever going to find. But I feel like that's a great fit in that clubhouse to have a guy like that who's just calm and isn't going to get excited. He's just going to go about his business.
You know, he is like the antithesis of Frankie Lindor. Right? Yeah. Lindor is his outgoing guy, great smile. And Kluber, you can barely get him to crack a smile. But I think that, you know, based off of his reaction – and really, even Terry Francona, and Lindor was saying it to some degree, like they're trying to keep those expectations down as best as they can and not look too far ahead or just, you know, again, keep that day-to-day mentality. And I think that's the only other way you can do it. If you're sitting there, you know, saying, well, this is amazing, just 21, you know, potentially for 21 games, you throw a lot of added pressure on. And they really look like they're a team that's not playing with a lot of pressure right now. It is so unusual in sports to have these long streaks. Like in hitting streaks, I don't know if we'll ever see beating the 56-game hit streak that DiMaggio had. This streak of 20 games, I never would have thought. You know, just based off of the parity, the competitiveness, that maybe if we saw it broken, it was going to be a while. I didn't think it would be 15 years later that we would see this record at least be tied.
Yeah, it's amazing. And this Indians team right now looks like the Indians we thought we'd see this season. It took them a little while to get it going, but they are seemingly peaking at the right time. A team that is not peaking at the right time, it looks like, is the Dodgers, who, as the Indians, you know, win 20 in a row, the Dodgers lost 11 straight. They lost 15 of 16. I think they're the only team in the history of Major League Baseball to win 15 of 16 and lose 15 of 16 in the same season. I mean, it's really been remarkable. So you look at the standings, comfortable lead. They're going to win the division. They're going to probably still be the top seed, although the Nationals are making a run at them. But how concerned should we be?
Well, I think we should be concerned with the Dodgers in the way they've been playing because, listen, I think when you look at this overall streak, they have there's no team that's won the World Series that has had a 10-game or more losing streak ever in the history of the sport. So they have history going against them. You know, they could be the first team to do it. We all know. We've seen, you know, it's been an amazing baseball season. We've seen, you know, longtime records broken, shattered, whatever it might be. But there have been some leaks in the cracks here of the Dodgers. None of starting, you know, beyond Kershaw. So Kershaw shut down the Giants. He gets him on track. He was fantastic. Gets his 17th win, and you know he's still kind of coming back from the back issue. That was only his third start. So you know he's going to be fine. It's after that I'm worried. I'm worried about Darvish, who's pitching later today, and he hasn't been very good. And Rich Hill's been just shaky. And you know the offense has been struggle really over the last 10, 11 games. If you look at the numbers, you know Seager wasn't a part of the lineup. Now he's back in, so that makes a huge difference. So you know, I think as they get, you know, they have guys with track records. You can't forget what they've done. But, you know, this time of the year, the timing of it for me is concerning because they don't have a lot of time to get out of it. And I think their confidence has been a little bit shaken, at least from people that are around the club that I've talked to and just from my own observation.
So we've covered a team on the move up, the Indians, on the move back with the Dodgers with the 11 straight losses and their slump. How about some players on the move? And that time means this time of year promotions, obviously. You see a lot of them right at the beginning of September, but the Rangers have now promoted Willie Calhoun, yeah, who is a top prospect. You mentioned Yu Darvish, yeah, and he went from the Dodgers, Calhoun, to the Rangers in that Darvish trade. And here's a kid who's 22 years old. The slash lines in the minors great, 300, 355, 572, hit 31 homers at AAA, and this was the year where he really took off at that top level of the minors.
Gaudy numbers. Yeah. Okay? Man, that's incredible what he's been able to do. I think the interesting thing is they weren't quite sure what position was going to be the best for him. They moved him to the outfield. They worked with him on his outfield play. I talked to Jeff Bannister, his manager, today, as a matter of fact. He's going to have him in the lineup every day. He started him, I think he was in the seventh spot. His first at bat, single, RBI. You know, it's nice to get that first out of your way. But they're committed to playing him every single day. They didn't bring him up to sit on the bench. So we're going to get a really good look at him. We're going to look at him good and bad on the defensive side. This is a committed kid. When they asked him what his best position was, his answer was three hole in the lineup. That's
just
confidence. Give me the bat and I'm going to swing it. So I love that about him. And you know, it's a really good story. I can't wait to see him the last few weeks.
Yeah, he played second base with the Dodgers and then the Rangers making that move. And it's interesting they're going to play him every day because, I mean, the Rangers aren't out of it.
No.
I mean, on paper, they're very much in the thick of things. You bring up the kid, you think he'll get his feet wet, but hey, they're going to give him the shot to get it done and play. And maybe he's the spark a team like that needs. We will see. Now, with that, the Rangers had to obviously open up a roster spot. They released Tyson Ross, which is interesting. Here's a guy that was non-tendered by the Padres in the offseason, which I think surprised everybody coming off the injury. But maybe they knew something we didn't all know. 7.71 ERA in 49 innings with the Rangers. He just never got back healthy from that injury, did Tyson Ross?
No. I'll tell you real fast on that. You're right. And they gave him plenty of opportunity, and they were going to move him to the bullpen. I think this is probably a little bit of a surprise, but we've seen that surgery, thoracic outlet. We haven't seen many guys come back and pitch well. And that's, you know, he's another one, another poster child for it. Hopefully he'll figure it out, and, you know, with another year under his belt, another winter of hopefully health, maybe he can get himself back on track. And you know, it's been a struggle for the pitching there in Texas in the rotation. So if there was anything left in their minds to watch, then they would keep him around. I think they've kind of exhausted it. Now it's back to the drawing board for Ross.
It has become kind of remarkable. You used to think of Tommy John surgery as like, oh no, but now it's just, okay, he's going to take a year off, he'll be fine. But when it's the thoracic outlet, which is kind of a newer thing for a lot of people, or the shoulder, that's where the real concerns are now. And speaking of the shoulders, that's the deal with Jimmy Nelson now of the Brewers. And the Brewers are a team that's right in there, still battling it out, not only in the NL West, but the wild card. And they take a big hit with Jimmy Nelson. Now he's going to go for a second opinion today, as we record this on Wednesday. We haven't heard that report yet, but it looks like his season's over. 28 years old, was having such a good year for the Brewers, and now it looks like all sorts of question marks because it's the shoulder.
Because of the shoulder, yeah, and it really looked kind of unassuming when he was running the bases. He was going to decide to maybe go for a double. He stopped and went back to first and just slid in head first. Didn't look like it was any big deal, and all of a sudden he grimaced and ends up having the damage. So, obviously, it's a terrible blow to the Brewers' chances. I mean, they've overcome a lot this year, and they're still in it. So you can't rule it out. I mean, Matt Garza goes back into the rotation. They've got Brent Suter, who's coming off an injury. Woodruff is a guy who's pitched okay. It's, you know, it's going to fall primarily on a guy like Zach Davies, obviously, and Anderson for them to kind of figure things out there. But, you know, it really he was a number one starter. He was the definition for the Brewers this year. He's come into his own, and it's just a shame because, with him in that, I thought they had a legit chance to win the division. Now it becomes much more difficult.
Yeah, rotator cuff strain, partial anterior labrum tear. I'm not a doctor. You're not
a doctor.
But it sounds like something that more than likely will be surgery. And is that a year type thing? I mean, will we see him next season?
The cuff, if it's that's a tough rehab.
Yeah.
What was the other one? It was capsule.
Labrum.
Labrum.
Yep.
Are very concerning because, like thoracic outlet, you don't see guys who have labrum surgery come back very well. It's very hard to rehab. It's an area underneath in the shoulder area that there's not a lot of blood flow there, so it's a hard healing process. So, let's hope that it's not what the initial diagnosis was.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy Nelson, when you look at that Brewers team, even if they do get to the postseason, which would be a huge plus for a team that wasn't supposed to be anywhere near October this season, but you think of who they would be throwing out there in a wild card game, or if they were to win the division,
right. In
games one and two against other teams' aces, it wouldn't probably line up real well for the Brewers, but I think they'd be thrilled just to be part of the postseason. One team that's already locked it up and is heading to October on the move into the playoffs is the Washington Nationals. You think of the big two in Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, and those guys look like they're going to be healthy. And finally, the Nats go into a postseason firing on all cylinders. But how about Gio Gonzalez? He's become the number three guy there. He struggled on Tuesday night, but overall he's been incredible this season, and they pick up his option. So in a big season for him personally, he gets the option picked up, and how key will he be here going forward?
He's going to be important for them, there's no doubt. I mean, he's their number three starter, as you mentioned. If you remember last year in the postseason, they didn't have Strasburg and they didn't have Wilson Ramos. So hopefully Strasburg stays healthy and a much better Gio Gonzalez. And Gio credited early in the season Matt Wieters for – Wieters was a guy that could always hit him from afar. They played a lot of interleague games with Wieters in Baltimore, and he remembered saying, you used to have a good changeup. You don't use your changeup to righties. How come? And he kind of convinced him to use the changeup to righties, and because of that, he's actually gotten confidence in it and has thrown it a lot more and thrown it better, and it's helped his overall game. He's always had the real wicked curveball, and he's had the good command of the fastball. So his option get vest, $12 million. It's not that big of a deal. He went 180 innings. $12 million is pretty reasonable for the way he's pitched. And then they have, three, I think, of the top four in ERA in the National League with Strasburg, Scherzer, and Gio. So pretty impressive the way the rotation has continued to stay healthy and pitch so well.
And the way those guys are locked up is obviously nice, too, when you look going forward. I mean, everybody talks about, Bryce Harper's going to leave.
Right.
But you got the pitching still, and there's other players there, so that Nats team in good shape. One more thing to talk about that I glanced over when we were talking about the Indians, another player on the move in a negative sense is Bradley Zimmer, who the numbers offensively for the Indians' number one prospect since he's been promoted have been okay, but he's been tremendous in the outfield, and he's given them great depth, and now he's probably done for the year. It hasn't affected them yet, but you would think at some point you're going to feel the loss of a guy like that.
His defense, as you mentioned, it was plus defender. There were times where he was swinging the bat well. He'd be in a leadoff spot. Terry moved him down in the lineup. Francona did. Now they're in a pinch, with him being out, the broken finger. And, they went with Greg Allen, the rookie, to play center field the first couple nights. He's a good defender. Interestingly, Jason Kipnis offered to play the outfield. He played in college. Interestingly enough, and so he has some background. He was taking some ground balls and fly balls. I worry a little bit about his hamstrings in center field, getting a lot of action, a lot of fly balls, and you wonder if they'll hold up. But it's an interesting option if you look at him. Jose Ramirez has been playing second so well. It's kind of interesting. You wouldn't disrupt that necessarily. So, and if Brantley is kind of interestingly on StatCast, he's one of the slower runners, which I didn't know. So you look at, you got Chisenhall, and you've got Allen or Kipnis. You have Jay Bruce. That's more than an adequate outfield. I mean, it's productive out there. So you can still win a World Series or go deep in the postseason, I think, with that configuration. It hurts not having that defender.
And it certainly makes that addition of Jay Bruce, as a waiver deal from the Mets look that much bigger. And so those little moves that we see pay off as far as injuries. They're just adding depth, but here you go. And as they look for win number 21, Jay Bruce with a three-run homer on Wednesday, another big spot. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of On the Move. This is presented by Penske, and we got teams on the move to the playoffs. We mentioned the Nationals. The Dodgers, despite our negativity, have clinched a playoff spot. So the Dodgers also on the move to October. We are going to be back with another On the Move podcast presented by Penske in a little bit. Stay tuned for that one. For Jim Duquette, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in.